Well, good evening, everybody. He was saying nervous, and normally I'm not too nervous. I get to in front and talk to everybody in front and talk in front of everybody. But I was a little bit tonight. You know, I was putting together some things and some things that have been on my mind, and as some things are going through as a congregation and how we're growing. And, I was a little bit nervous as to how I was going to come across. Was I going to have enough material? And not did I have enough material, was I going to be able to give enough material in the time that was allowed without spreading it way out? So, anyways, if you bear with me, tonight, you know, I never got to do this before. This is kind of cool. I never got to name my message, so I'm going to name it. So the title of this one is Rule or Tool? Is it a rule or is it a tool we use? And so I'm going to start off speaking tonight about two things. Okay, I've been a Christian, I think May of 2004. So 12 years, I think 12 years, because I've been married for 10. So 12 years now. And there's two things that constantly I always struggle with. And I know if I struggle with some of them, that somebody else has to be struggling with them somewhere too. I mean, I'm not the only slow kid. I mean, so there's two things. And the reason why I titled this Rule or Tool is because one is praying and the other is reading. Let's go through a quick schedule. Everybody, I don't want to know like what everybody's schedule is, but I guarantee you at some point you've started prayer. I've even started writing mine down when I do mine, so I guess what? Fell off. Same thing with reading. I pick up my reading. I do really good, and then I feel like I get just checking the list, like, yep, daily reading's done. Because I get more involved with trying to just get it done instead of actually ingesting it. So I'm going to start off with let's start off with prayer. Why we pray? So sometimes we think circumstances or fatal things that happen within our lives are reasons why we end up praying. But really, that's just a catalyst that kind of brings it forth to our front of our minds, right? That's something that it brings a spark and like, hey, this is something I should be doing because you know who has the power. Okay? But rarely, if ever, does it produce long-term results, does it? When it's sparked by that. So What has to produce those results? What has to bring those results forward for you to want to continue to do this? One, you have to have a goal. If you don't have something you're pushing towards, you're not going to do the little things every day. I got an opportunity to be able to go to speak to a bunch of kids 8 to 12 years old this summer. And I haven't gone yet, but in this speech, they asked me, the medical coordinator called me, and then the diabetes the camp coordinator called me, and they wanted me to come up and speak to these kids, you know, because I've had diabetes 30 years. Okay. So I understand what these kids are going through at that point. And they wanted me to come talk to them. And they asked me, well, what would you think? And the reason why is just because I participated in some events and they thought it was really neat to be able to share with these kids. And the person called me and I actually explained to him. I was like, well, I actually don't really want to talk to him about that. I got to tell him about what actually let me do those things and why I did them. See, I started what, October? Like this big thing for all the Spartan race that we all did. It was fun. A lot of training. Good. And then I started realizing that as I started doing these type of things, that it's really beneficial for my health. to be able to do these things. So, I could look at this as a way, as like, hey, I'm going to die with complications if I don't take care of myself, and so this is why I got to do these things. Or, I can look at it as, I get to do these things, and these are the results that I get from it. See, it has to be established. Relationships has to be the motivation behind it. And as we continue to grow as a congregation, we have to make sure that those relationships are intact. I want everybody to just take a look around the room for a second. I want you to almost do a 360. Take a look around the room. Trying to get it. You know, you've seen the normal people, normal seats. Guess what? The same people, the same everybody, if we took a list of everybody's here right now, will never be the same again. Why? Why are we saying? Because things change. God's designed things in a way to move forward that produces us a way to want to have a goal, to want to achieve something, that wants to give us hope, hasn't he? Turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, I'm going to start, let's go in verse 5. When you pray, you're not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and the street corners, so that they may be seen by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. Your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. When you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. So do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. The reason why I bring this verse up is because it's activity, isn't it? It's activity. Jesus showed here that the activity isn't going to keep the long-lasting relationships, is it? You can go through the motions. Honestly, you can. People try to use the communication of marriage, right? Well, communication of marriage. But is that really fair to use that as an application to what God is trying to reach to us about the Scriptures? I think in a portion it is. But here's the thing. People can fake things awful good. You strip it away and just prayer, you have nothing else to hide behind. See, we get used to putting things in front of things that we don't really want to do. The little things that are hard. These daily activities, right? These daily activities that take time out of our schedule, don't they? You have to plan for them. Hey, I plan to be running whatever by this time. Guess what? I have to make a plan for that, don't I? And if I don't go through with those day-to-day activities, am I going to be able to accomplish my goal? Hang with me here. I'm going to tie this all together a little later. But I used to think of prayer as sometimes it's hard. It's awkward, isn't it? You start talking in a relationship, and it's awkward. You don't quite know how the other person is going to react, and you say things because you don't know how to come across as maybe being gentle, but it's kind of harsh, and it's the truth. So it needs to be said anyways. But you know what? If it's uncomfortable, it means you care. Really. Things feel uncomfortable. And I used to think of this prayer as like, bounce the ball. You ever had a conversation with somebody, you feel like you're bouncing a ball, and you go, duh, duh, duh. Ask them a question, that's bouncing the ball. Duh, duh, duh. You're like, okay, I can only ask so many questions. All right. Great to see you. Okay, let's move on. Right? I used to think of prayer that way, honestly. But it's actually flipped. God's been bouncing the ball the whole time, and He's waiting for it to come back. I mean, you know, sometimes if you don't stop and think about things, like, wait a minute here. Maybe I need to be able to figure out how to bounce the ball back to them. Or bounce it so that they can bounce it back to me when we're communicating. Turn to Psalm 17. Psalm 17. So the other question is, you know, He speaks to us through His Word, but we often ask the question, these are one of the difficult things that we get through, does He hear us? We're going to go through some scriptures here. And just to kind of prove a point, you know, God has this laid out through here. Psalm 17, starting in verse 1. Hear a just cause, O Lord, O Lord, give heed to my cry. Give ear to my prayer, which is not from deceitful lips. Go down to verse 6. I have called upon you for your will, for you will answer me, O God. Incline your ear to me, hear my speech. Wondrously show your loving kindness. So, I want you to bounce over to 1 John 5:14. Wait a minute, I might have wrote that down wrong. Five, not two. 5:14. This is a confidence which we have before Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Hebrews 4:16. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace in time of need. Let's go to 1 Peter 5. Verse 7, casting all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. So just from those few verses that I've gone through, if we actually believe this to be the Word of God, and I didn't go into that real deep. I just kind of skimmed some of the things and touched that. We know that He hears us. Now, sometimes, when we pray, it's because I notice sometimes it's for my own selfish reasons. And I but we have to be honest with ourselves, don't we? See, because there's a cost to business. Contractor needs to buy supplies, right? A salesperson needs to have a rental car. He needs to have an expense account, right? In order to get things done. But that doesn't mean that he can go swipe the company card and buy himself, you know, a fun toy or something that's going to be pleasing to him. A representative of the company. Now, the company representing the boss, God. Does he think it works any different with our prayers? Do you think he's going to refuse things that we need to get the job done when we ask in faith? See, because we don't know, do we? Those questions get left unanswered in our mind. What's going to happen? Well, he's not hearing my prayers. Some people think, oh, he's not hearing my prayers. You know, God isn't with me. God is with me because I hate every green light on the way to work, and I got out of work early. It was a great day. And then people think that it's a bad day because you hit every red light and you're having to stay late. You think, oh, God doesn't care for me, does he? You know, people have a funny way of thinking, and we may chuckle, but really in the back of our mind, we end up doing that to ourselves sometimes. So, the cost of doing business. Do we pay attention to that when we pray? And I only bring this up because this is something that I've struggled with since I became a Christian. Something that I've struggled to get a habit to form and to be able to develop the relationship. See, I can spout the same stuff to my wife every day. But that's not really the relationship we're looking for, is it? It's not the relationship God is looking for. He wants to hear about our cares, our anxieties. He wants to know those things, doesn't he? See, I could talk on stuff on the surface with Jennifer. But you know what? She's going to get bored of that. And ultimately, I'm going to bring this together a little bit further here. Refer to my other set of notes. That's the notes now. Staying alert. Who's ever fallen asleep when they prayed? Me? Yeah, I'm going to start my habit. I'm going to get up early. And I'm sitting there by myself, whether I'm starting to ride them out, and I'm going, okay, staying alert in prayer. Yeah, doing a great job of that. See, how we train to do the little things is going to present how they end up in the big picture, aren't they? Jesus said to his disciples, and I think I've said this before, but he's in the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, stay awake. He said, be alert. How do we stay alert? You know, Jesus was alert when he was tempted by Satan after being 40 days and 40 nights. In the desert, he was alert because he was praying. I think these are one of the little things that, honestly, that prevents a people from really being great. I've seen it over years. You know, there's a part of my life that I wasn't a Christian. I had the opportunity to grow up around, you know, in Bozeman. And some of the things that I've seen over the years is because people really don't want to do the workouts. Yeah, we get it. This is how our day goes. Yeah, alarm gets up. Alarm comes up at 6, 5:35, whatever time you get up. Okay? Whether you have that scheduled in or not. Yep. Okay, it's getting late. I got to be to work by 7. I got a lot of stuff to do, so it doesn't give you a lot of time to get things done in the morning, right? Wife gets up. We've got to get the kids ready for school. Get out the door. To work, 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 work. We're focusing hard. We're working for the Lord, right? Day gets to the end. Maybe you have a Bible study that night. You got to prepare a little bit for that. You got a Bible study at night. You come home. Tired. You know it's coming up again the next day, right? So, I just need a little rest. But Jesus clearly showed us that example that we need to be praying. That can never go away. And I think I've seen this pattern come along because these two things go away: prayer and our reading. What I'm going to tie this back to is turn to Philippians 2 for me. Start in verse 1, pretty familiar verse. Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. The reason why I think why those two things end up being missed is because if we're intent on one purpose and we're praying to God, we all have the same mindset. Do you think that's going to have an impact on our relationships? Try chaining us all together, making us try to work together. You guys walk up and down the chain 10 people together. You guys walk up and down the basketball court 10 times. I want it done 10 times under this amount of time. Yeah, you don't think there's any communication that's going to go on that? One guy's going to go on this way, and one guy's going to go, wait, you know? Instead of this guy being patient, one guy just chugging forward. Come on! You know, it's hard enough to be able to, in the battle we fight. But I think we make more work for ourselves when we don't do the workouts. And prayer being part of that. So, I just want to encourage everybody. Hey, it's in there. He doesn't tell us exactly how to pray. Like, he says to go in your inner closet, right? Your inner closet is your inner closet. That's where you spend time with God. It doesn't mean you close yourself in this dark hole where, I mean, hey, if that's your picture and that's where you need to be, go for it. But is it a time that we spend with God? I can tell you what, if I didn't communicate with my wife for a week, I had big problems. That's just a week. How often do we just end up not praying to God? We just thankful for our food, pray at meals. It's just one of those things. I think if we can truly put these things forth in our lives, one, the reading is going to make us intent. What's important? What are we praying for? Because we're really going to see what the boss wants. So when we come into contact with each other, we already know what our goal is. Hey, I might not like the way this person acts over here. I might get offended. But you know what? What's your goal? Really, our goal is to build God's kingdom. This is what we've been put on to do. And so, without doing these things and keeping them consistent, I think that's where the corners end up falling off. Because your mind isn't right. So I want to encourage everybody. Hey, if you don't have a habit, start it. Don't know how to get started, ask somebody. And if it's something you've done before, you need to get doing it again. Hey, I'm getting a couple extra pounds. I need to get back, you know, on the wagon type thing. Hey, we need to do it. Because the goal's not going to get accomplished if we don't. So I want to leave you with that.